This is UNN Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In this week's program, prevent famine in Somalia from ever happening again, urges the UN mission head. And African countries are taking action to reduce short-lived climate pollutants. But first, the United Nations has confirmed the deaths of two members of a Security Council expert group who had been missing in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, for more than 2 weeks. Michael Sharp and Zeida Catalan, accompanied by four Congolese nationals, were in the Kasai Central region when they disappeared on March 12. Their remains were discovered on Monday by peacekeepers with the UN mission in the country, MONUSCO. Deanne Penn reports.
Mr. Sharp, an American, and Ms. Catalan, who was from Sweden, were members of the group of experts on the Democratic Republic of the Congo. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres issued a statement on Tuesday evening saying he was deeply saddened to confirm their deaths. The UN chief urged the Congolese authorities to continue the search for the four missing nationals. Michael and Zaida lost their lives seeking to understand the causes of conflict and insecurity in the DRC in order to help bring peace to the country and its people, he said. We will honor their memory by continuing to support the invaluable work of the group of experts and the whole UN family in the DRC. Mr. Guterres expressed hope that the Congolese authorities will conduct a full investigation into the incident. The Secretary General said the UN will also launch an inquiry, adding that in case of criminal acts, the United Nations will do everything to ensure that justice is done. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
Meanwhile, the inquiry will determine a number of things, said UN Deputy Spokesperson Farhan Haq, including the cause of death as well as the whereabouts of the Congolese nationals who were with them. According to media reports, the bodies of the experts were found in a shallow grave. When asked if the UN knew who the murderers were, Mr. Haq had this to say.
We do not know at present who killed them. Obviously, given that they have been found dead, we believe that there's likely grounds that this was a form of criminal act, but we need to determine cause of death. A number of things that will be determined during the course of an inquiry. We look into what their security conditions had been, what might have happened to them, as well as, of course, to the four Congolese nationals for whom we are continuing to search.
The UN Security Council also condemned in the strongest terms the killing of the two UN experts and expressed concern over the unknown status of missing Congolese nationals. The council underlined that attacks targeting civilians, such as these UN-appointed personnel, may constitute war crimes under international law. African countries are taking action to reduce short-lived climate pollutants by switching to cleaner fuels and improved stoves. Rita Cheruti and Helena Molina Valdez of the Climate and Clean Air Coalition, CCAC, have said, speaking on the margins of a high-level UN event on climate change and the Sustainable Development Agenda, Ms. Valdez, head of the CCAC Secretariat, and Ms. Cheruti, the coalition's co-chair, said these pollutants have a short lifespan in the atmosphere, but they are more potent than carbon dioxide or CO2. The Paris Agreement on Climate Change, which calls for cuts to CO2 carbon emissions to lower global warming, officially entered into force last November. A month before that, in the Rwandan capital of Kigali, more than 190 countries had agreed to reduce global levels of hydrofluorocarbons, HFCs, used in refrigeration and air conditioning. I spoke to the two experts about efforts that are underway in Africa to do away with these powerful climate warmers.
I'm Rita Cheruti. I'm with the Department of Environment and Climate Change Canada, and I'm currently the Canadian co-chair of the Climate and Clean Air Coalition. And I'm here today with Helena Moline Valdez, who is the head of the Secretariat of the Climate and Clean Air Coalition. I'm going to say CCAC for short.
I'm here also because our head office from the United Nations Environment is in New York and is supporting the work we are doing on sustainable development and climate.
What are some of the positive benefits that you've already seen?
Black carbon, indoor and outdoor air pollution kills prematurely more than 6 million people per year. That's a huge number, and we have calculated with our scientists that we could save at least 2.4 million premature deaths per year only by implementing 16 specific measures to reduce black carbon.
Ms. Cheruti?
Yes. And one thing that is important is we talk about the implementation of the Paris Agreement as a historical event. Another historical event that took place in 2016 was also the adoption of the Kigali Amendment to reduce HFCs. And that's historical because with just that measure, you can actually reduce up to 0.5 of a degree in temperature by the beginning of the next century. That is huge. That's significant. And so the CCAC, the Climate and Clean Air Coalition, had an important role to play in getting that political momentum to getting that amendment and also in exploring alternatives to HFCs. Very important on the ground.
Can countries that are developing countries or, you know, emerging economies, how easily can they adapt to these measures?
Maybe I'll turn to Helena and she can give a few examples of what the CCAC is actually doing with a lot of the African partners in the CCAC.
What we are doing and what many of the cities now are looking at and governments are looking at, one, to introduce regulations to produce or buy cleaner fuel. That's number one. There is an issue also of the import of the second-hand rejected ones from places where this regulation is in place. Another one is to look at cook stoves, as I mentioned before. Cook stoves that are using wood to burn, which is the normal procedure in many homes in African countryside and cities, is not only very harmful for the persons who actually cook, mostly women and children exposed to toxic air, but it's also depleting the forests and having another type of impact on both the climate and sustainability issues of lack of forestry.
Following successful elections, the longer-term objective for Somalia and the international community has to be to prevent famine from ever happening again. That's the view of Michael Keating, the head of UNSUM, the UN Assistance Mission in Somalia. He was at UN headquarters in New York to address the Security Council on conditions in Somalia, which, despite major political advances, still faces major challenges from drought and the extremist militants of Al-Shabaab. He told council members Somalia was experiencing a moment of both tragedy and hope. Alban Mendes de Leon spoke to him after the meeting.
Somalia is emerging from many decades of conflict, but it's a place that's slowly coming together, which is refreshing. It's a different narrative compared to many other countries in the world. In the last 6 weeks, we've completed both parliamentary and presidential elections, and these have gone remarkably well. They were imperfect. It's very difficult to organize elections in a country which has security issues, doesn't have voter registry, court system isn't functioning. But despite that, the Somalis organized an electoral process that has delivered a parliament which is considered to be legitimate, including 26% women, young people, and so on. And that parliament then elected a president. And the president has been universally acclaimed, and there's a great sense of optimism that things can be done under this new leadership. But at the same time, the country's facing a drought, a really terrible drought, which could turn into a famine.
The word famine has been mentioned in some occasion. There's also the presence of cholera. How does the country face these crises, and what is needed?
Well, the country faces them with a great sense of foreboding and déjà vu, I'm afraid. There was a famine only in 2011. 260,000 people died, and many Somalis I speak to are ashamed, actually, that their country, once again, is going through this, because they know it's potentially quite a rich country, you know, it's very entrepreneurial, there's resources, there is money, you know, but famines affect the weakest and the poorest and so on. In terms of what can be done about it, of course, the short-term reaction is essentially life-saving. It's trying to get food and water and protection to people who are worst affected. And it is very depressing because we've known this is coming for a long time. Many people depend upon rural livelihoods. They've lost their livestock, their animals, their welfare. So it hasn't come out of the blue. So the imperative is on humanitarian response. But in the medium to longer term, the objective has to be to prevent something like this ever happening again.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.